On Wednesday's front page, results from primaries in 12 states. In Arkansas, Senator Blanche Lincoln narrowly avoided becoming the third Senate incumbent ousted this year. Why one billionaire's children and grandchildren won't be paying estate taxes. And doctors at Planned Parenthood clinics in Iowa are okaying abortions by video conference. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Arkansas Senator Blanche Lincoln survived a close runoff. She beat Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter to win the Democratic nomination. Organized labor and other special interests had spent millions for Halter. In California, former eBay chief executive Meg Whitman was winning the Republican nomination for governor. That sets the stage for an expensive fall campaign. Ms. Whitman will be running against Democrat Jerry Brown, who was governor from 1975 to 1983. In South Carolina, there'll be a runoff for the Republican nomination for governor. Candidate Nikki Haley overcame accusations of infidelity, but she fell short of claiming an outright majority of votes. She'll face Congressman Gresham Barrett in a runoff on June 22nd. President Obama is discovering the economic tools he used last year are not politically viable this year. This comes as many economists are warning the recovery could be endangered by prolonged high unemployment and slow growth. But Times reporter Sewell Chan says Congress doesn't want another big economic stimulus.
Well, there are some who are saying more could be done. Certainly some from the left would like to see additional fiscal stimulus in the form of new spending measures, potentially new tax cuts. And there are some on the monetary side who would like to see the Fed, which has already lowered interest rates to pretty much zero, buy assets, buy long-term treasury securities to hold down long-term interest rates. The Fed has already done some of that asset purchasing, but they've stopped for now. On the fiscal side, of course, you've got immense concern in Washington about the budget deficit and the very, very high debt. And the Obama administration seems not inclined to really propose massive new spending.
Times reporter Sewell Chan. Also on Wednesday's front page, a new strategy in Kandahar. Civilian reconstruction efforts are coming first. Military action is taking a supportive role. Afghan officials oppose stronger military action. There were concerns that in Marja, which is far smaller, a full-fledged military approach hasn't worked as well as had been hoped. One billionaire's legacy? Death, but no taxes. The children and grandchildren of Texas pipeline tycoon Dan Duncan stand to collect billions that in any other year would have gone to the government. The reason? Congress let the estate tax lapse for 1 year starting back in January. The Senate Finance Committee is now working on a compromise to reinstate it. Duncan, by the way, had a net worth of $9.8 billion. Also on Wednesday's front page, another installment in the Times' series on how the earthquake in Haiti affected a Roman Catholic congregation in Queens. Rose Constant moved to New York after her second son was born with heart problems in 2005. Her husband pretty much remained in Haiti working to improve conditions there even before the earthquake. He was in New York after the Christmas holidays. She begged him not to go back. He did. He was at the European Union headquarters in Port-au-Prince when the earthquake hit. He died when the building collapsed. In Iowa, doctors at Planned Parenthood clinics are providing abortions by video conference. The doctor clicks the mouse on his computer. At a clinic 100 miles away, a drawer that looks like the one on a cash register pops open in front of the patient. She reaches in and takes out the drug once known as RU486 that ends her pregnancy. Anti-abortion groups say they're concerned for the safety of women who've never actually been in the same room as the doctor. We'll go inside Wednesday's Times after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out the service. One book to consider is New York Times bestseller No One Would Listen, A True Financial Thriller by Harry Markopoulos. The Audible edition includes a bonus chapter of testimony testimony from the victims of Bernie Madoff and candid comments from the Inspector General of the SEC. That's No One Would Listen, a true financial thriller, now available from Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
Inside Wednesday's Times, workers in China seem to be gaining power by going on strike. A Honda parts supplier is facing a new walkout. This comes days after the same supplier ended a two-week strike at a transmission factory by giving 1,900 workers big pay increases. The new work stoppage will force Honda to halt production at one of its four Chinese assembly plants, at least on Wednesday. All four plants have just reopened after the earlier strike. Separately, China filed a formal complaint about an incident on the North Korean border. It happened last week. China says a North Korean border guard shot four Chinese nationals. Four Russian soldiers are charged with stealing from the wreckage of a Polish airliner that crashed last month. The soldiers were supposed to be on guard duty. Polish President Lech Kaczynski and 95 other Polish leaders died in the crash. Officials say the soldiers stole bank cards belonging to one of the victims. About $1,700 was withdrawn from that person's bank account soon after the crash. The UN Security Council is expected to impose new sanctions against Iran over its nuclear program. The sanctions add 41 new enterprises to the blacklist. Times reporter David E. Sanger explains the diplomatic backstory.
The issue is, will the Russians, will the Chinese join the Europeans and the U.S. in additional unilateral sanctions that could truly hurt Iran? And so far, the evidence seems to suggest that while Europe might, Russia and China probably won't.
Wednesday's Business Day section says the Federal Reserve is 6 months into its review of compensation at 28 financial companies. It's finding things haven't changed much. The bonuses and incentives that angered the public as the financial crisis was deepening, they're continuing. The Fed is finding banks tend to set similar bonus levels for broad sets of employees and often fail to adjust the payouts to account for the risks taken by traders and lending officers. Wednesday's dining section looks at New York restaurants that don't take reservations. Some of them are places that restaurant critics and bloggers are the most excited about. Some say the no-reservations trendsetter was David Chang's Momofuku in the East Village. He says not taking reservations means there's a lack of pretentiousness. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.